Welcome to the Go Forth and Golf Podcast, where you can listen to everything related to the game of golf. Golf tips to help you improve your golf game, entertaining interviews, discussions about the latest in golf equipment, and so much more. Now, here is your host, PGA professional, Steve Goforth.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome back to another podcast. This podcast is going to be a flashback episode, all the way back to episode number 11, which was back in 2020, the COVID year. I think the year that we kind of all want to forget about, other than the fact that that's when this podcast started. So I wanted to give you a little bit of throwback this episode. In this one, I talked about or explained course rating, course and slope rating. That can be confusing to some, and some wonder where do these numbers come from. So I explained that, and also how to help you read greens. We're into the golf season right now, and I want you to putt better, and part of that starts with how to read the greens properly. So I give advice on that. So enjoy this flashback episode, and I will be back with a new episode on Wednesday, May the 15th. So enjoy this flashback episode, and I encourage you to go back and listen to some of those old ones, leading you all the way up to the 85 I've already done. So please go back there and listen to those. And remember, refer a friend. Tell a friend about the podcast. Word of mouth is going to help me tremendously. Enjoy this episode on reading greens and explaining course and slope rating.
Oh, he got all of that one.
Hi, I'm Betsy Exton, owner of Pure Health and Wellness. If you want to take control of your health and feel amazing, I encourage you to check out Pure Health and Wellness. We have two locations, one downtown Greenville. It's called Pure on Main across the street from the Hyatt. The other location is on Cannon Street in beautiful downtown Greer. Pure Health and Wellness provides you with essential services and products, allowing you to live a healthier, more fulfilling life. We are one of the most exclusive and unique health and wellness centers in the upstate, and we've been nominated for Greenville's Best for over 8 consecutive years. Do you want to increase your endurance, increase your mobility, get rid of joint pain, and have a better golf game? My staff and I can help you. Our stores are filled with beneficial items for your body and soul. Our services include massage therapy, ionic foot detoxes, colon hydrotherapy, wellness consulting, saunas, and body wraps. We are dedicated to help provide the best service for our community. Please give us a call and allow us to recommend the top-of-the-line products and services that are results-driven for your golf game. Steve gets all his wellness supplements from us, and it's made a huge positive impact in his life. Visit our website at pureonmain.com to learn more about our products and services. So, what are you waiting for? Start living happier and healthier at Pure on Main and Pure Wellness Spa. We are a proud sponsor of the Go Forth and Golf podcast.
In this episode, I decided I want to talk about course and slope rating. These are numbers that are very confusing to a lot of people. Used to confuse the heck out of me whenever I was younger. Didn't understand what it was all about until I got into the business, and I started understanding it more, obviously, at that point, and had to. And it's very intriguing. It's very interesting how they come up with these numbers and how that affects your current handicap that you're playing right now. So you see these numbers on a scorecard, and you're like, what in the heck do they mean? Well, I'm going to explain them to you in the simplest way I can, yet not leaving out some of the important technical information that I think you'll find really interesting. And it's going to help you understand how these numbers are determined. So let's get ready to take some notes.
Well, we're waiting.
Let's start out with the course rating. First of all, before I jump into that, the course rating and the slope rating both indicate the difficulty of the golf course. They're both indicating it to two different demographics. The course rating is going to tell a scratch golfer or someone that shoots par how difficult the golf course is going to be in relation to par for the course. Now, this number is an estimate of the average scores of the best 50% of rounds played at that course by scratch golfers. And that sounds a little confusing, so let me back up on that for a second. So it's the average score of the best 50% of rounds played at that course. So if you had 100 rounds played at Willow Creek, for example, they're going to take 50% of those best rounds played and do an average of those 50% of rounds. This number is also used to determine a player's handicap, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more and how that affects your handicap. Now look at it this way. If that number is higher in value, that means the golf course you're playing is more difficult. there are several course ratings that correspond to the different tees at the golf course. I'm going to give you an example of Willow Creek's. From our gold tees, which is the ones furthest back, we are 71.8, so right there at par. From our blue tees, the next tees up from the gold, we're at 69.7. Our white tees are 67.8. Orange tees, which are mainly senior tees, they're 66.5. And then red tees are 67.5. The course rating is really easy to understand because the number is expressed in strokes. For example, if par at the course is 72 and the course rating is 69.7 from our blue tees, like I mentioned, that indicates that the course is easier than par for a scratch player. So if a scratch player comes out the Willow Creek and they play the blue tees, they should be shooting right at 70, which is two under par. And just the opposite, if the course rating is, say, 74.5, then the course is more difficult. And a scratch golfer is going to shoot two over, maybe even three over par at that course from those particular tees. So again, a scratch golfer should average these numbers that I just mentioned. So that explains course rating. Again, a numerical value that is expressed in relation to par for that golf course. Now let's jump into what slope rating is all about. The slope rating is a value that measures the difficulty of the golf course for a bogey golfer. So like the course rating was for a scratch player, slope rating is for bogey golfers. The slope number will increase the more difficult the course may be, just like the course rating is going to increase. You want to stick with the lower course and slope ratings if you're an average player. And it's suggested that golfers who shoot somewhere in the mid-90s need to stick with slope ratings between 113 and 130. Minimum slope is going to be 55, and then maximum slope is around 155. Remember that slope ratings do not relate to strokes played like the course rating does. When the USGA first established slope rating, they determined that the set slope for an average course is around 113. Now, there aren't many courses with a slope rating that low, but 113 is still used in certain calculations in the handicap system. Keep in mind, as I mentioned earlier, course rating and slope rating is used to determine a handicap index, and that's really, really important when you're going to play in golf tournaments. And then that handicap index is then translated into a course handicap for whatever course you're playing at. Let me give you a great example. If someone is playing Bethpage Black as their home course, they're clearly playing a difficult course, as we know in the history of that course and how difficult we've heard it is. So their handicap index will be much higher than, say, someone who's playing Willow Creek as their home course. So if you're playing that difficult golf course, then your handicap index needs to justify that. And again, the opposite, if you're playing a really, really easy course, no matter what that may be, your handicap index needs to reflect you're playing an easier course. And that's the whole purpose of it. Remember that handicap indexes will always be used to determine a course handicap depending on the difficulty of that course and using the course rating and the slope rating to come up with whatever it is you need to be playing at as far as handicap is concerned for that particular course. So again, slope rating is something you want to look at if you're an average golfer and look at that number and help that to determine where you should be playing, what tees you should be playing from based on the slope rating from those tees. Now I'm going to talk about how they come up with these numbers, which I think is really fascinating, and I really wanted to share this with you. So get ready to take some more notes. Before I jump into how all this is determined, you need to know that they have to evaluate each hole individually first. And there are five playing length characteristics or factors that are considered for each hole. And those are the roll, the elevation, the wind that could be circulating on that hole, the dog leg if there is one, or any forced layups, and the altitude. Between these five factors, or a combination of all of them, the overall playing length of a golf course or that hole is either lengthened or shortened from the actual physical yardage. That's really, really important because the roll and the elevation, the wind, the dog leg, the layups, altitude, all those things really kind of affect distance, do they not? And so you have to take that in consideration when you figure in the overall length of that particular hole and, of course, the entire golf course. Now, in addition to the effective playing length of a course, there are 10 obstacles that are evaluated on each hole. Now, nine of these obstacles are physical, and one of them is psychological. So we always know we got to figure in some sort of psychological aspect, right? Because As you know, this game has some psychological effects on us. The 9 obstacles, physical obstacles, are as follows. Topography, the fairway, the green target, the rough, and the recoverability. Bunkers, it could be on that hole, out of bounds, or extreme rough. Any water that could be on the hole, any trees that could be on the hole, and the green surface that is on that particular golf course. If that weren't enough, the hole is given an extra bit of difficulty under the obstacle of psychology if the rating numbers are determined that the hole plays a little bit more difficult. Now, each obstacle that I mentioned to you is given a numerical value ranging from 0 to 10, 0 being non-existent and 10 being very existent, obviously. To avoid any type of confusion, the values assigned are taken from a table in the USGA course rating guide. And these values are based off the distances the obstacles are from the center of any landing zones or targets. Now, I know all that sounds very complex, but if you think about it, you need to get that complex, don't you, to get things very precise. And I think it's so fascinating that they take all of those factors into consideration when they're trying to rate a hole and then therefore rating the entire golf course. There are other factors that they're going to consider in this as well. The width of the fairways, the distance from the center of the fairway to the nearest boundary line, to the trees, to the penalty areas, and whether any bunkers are nearby. And they're going to do this process for both scratch players, again, that is course rating, and bogey players, and again, that is slope rating. The green width, think about that for a second. And the depth, those are also measured. And the amount of water and bunkers that are surrounding that green, and how far is it to those particular bunkers or water from the edge of the green. So there's so many things that are going into the calculation of course rating and slope rating. Keep in mind, this process is repeated on every hole and every tee box. And by doing all of this, they're able to come up with that course rating for scratch players and that slope rating for bogey players. So you've listened to all this. You may be asking yourself, Steve, how does this help me? What good is this going to do me? Well, most golfers, when they're looking at which tees they need to be playing or which golf course they need to be playing, they're looking at the overall yardage of a course to help them determine what tees they play. That's the majority of the time. You do have some golfers out there, you maybe listen to this, and it's like, I know exactly what course rating and slope rating is. And if you do, wonderful. Maybe you've learned a little bit extra today to help you understand that. But for those of you that have absolutely no clue what those numbers are, this is what you need to go off of, and this is what's important when you're trying to determine where you should be playing that golf course, what tees you should be playing from. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't evaluate what tees you're playing from based on how far you hit your driver. Of course you should, but not how difficult the overall course may be. I understand why people evaluate the distance of a particular golf course. I get that. It's important depending on how far you hit your driver, but not how difficult the overall course may be. So next time you go into a golf course and you're new to it, or maybe it's a course that you play often, you could be playing from the wrong tees. Evaluate that course rating and that slope rating and help that to determine what tees you should be playing from, how difficult that golf course will be. And hopefully now you understand how your handicap index is calculated and then how that translates to other golf courses you're going to be playing. If you have any questions about this, I encourage you to come talk to me about it because I'd love to hear from you. And again, the whole purpose is to help you understand little things like this that will make the game more enjoyable for you and also hopefully help you improve your game because you're now going to be playing from the tees that you should be playing from based on what course rating and slope rating best suits you.
This game, Doc, is ain't about hitting some little white ball in some yonder hole. It's about inner demons, self-doubt, human frailty, and overcoming all that crap.
As we all know, reading greens can be very intimidating sometimes, and I thought, you know what, let's talk about how to do that better in this episode. So I'm going to throw a lot of tips at you today that will hopefully help you read greens better and, of course, make more putts. So let's dive right into it.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
It's a really good idea to look at the overall green itself. I see a lot of golfers that get fixated on the line between the golf ball and the hole, and they don't look at everything. If you look at everything, it'll kind of tell you the story of that putt, what it's going to do, the contours are in the green, which way the green's flowing, thus making the ball go in that same direction. So don't just focus on the line that you're on. Look at everything. Good opportunity to do this is when you're walking up to the green, whether you're walking from the golf cart up to the green, or maybe you decided to walk up to the green from the fairway. It's a great opportunity to see everything as a whole. And again, you're going to see the story of that putt, which is huge. I can promise you, taking the time to do this will not fail you, and you'll feel a lot more comfortable when you step up over that putt because you know what that entire green is doing based on the contours or lack thereof that you're seeing on that green in your evaluation. So next time you're walking up to the green, take a look at the whole thing. Maybe walk around it if time allows for it and get comfortable with it. Read the story of the green. Therefore, you'll have a better idea of the story your putt's getting ready to make when you putt it. A lot of golfers don't think about this, but studying the lay of the land of the entire golf course can really help you. For example, golf balls often roll away from mountains. So if you're playing a very mountainous course, it's going to roll away from the mountains that you're closest to. And also, they tend to roll towards water. Not all golf courses have these features, so just get a good read of each hole to see what direction the ground moves. Try to find the low points on the greens. That is gigantic. If you can find the low points of the greens, that will tell you so much about what that break is going to do. Finding a low point means, hey, the ball is going to break towards that low point, and then look and see where the cup is in relation to that low point on the green. It can help you so very much. Take the time, again, look at the entire golf course. Study the golf course. You've played that golf course often. Obviously, you know the characteristics of it. And just get familiar with the lay of the land, and it will help you tremendously when it comes to making that putt, reading the break, and understanding which way that ball is going to move on that green. Watching professional golfers and their caddies as they read greens can really benefit you a lot. You may learn some strategies from them that will improve your ability to read greens. For example, you've probably seen the technique that professional golfers are using when they hold their fingers up to read the green. That's called aim point. So go out and research that, Google aim point. Maybe that's something that can benefit you and make you a better reader of greens. It may not be your thing, but look into that. Look into different strategies. But watching these guys and ladies on television or in person read the greens and talking to their caddies and just really observing that can help you pick up on strategies that help them. Or maybe you can learn from some mistakes that they're making. Maybe they're overanalyzing something and they just can't seem to dial it in. Whatever the case may be, always being able to observe others, especially the ones that are considered the best in the world, can always benefit you in one way or another. Looking at the putt from behind the ball and behind the cup is equally important. I see a lot of golfers that do not take the time to walk on the other side of the cup and look at it. Just kind of kneel down behind the ball, take a good look at it, step up and putt it. But I cannot express to you enough how valuable it is to walk to the other side. I do get some students to say, well, Steve, I don't have enough time to walk to the other side. My playing partners want to play ready golf. They want to play fast. I've got a group in the fairway waiting on us. I don't have time to walk on the other side. I get that. That happens sometimes. But if you had to walk from your cart over to your ball and you're already on the other side, why not stop there first and look at it? Maybe take some time to walk to the other side when we're waiting on your playing partner to chip up, or maybe your playing partner's reading their putt. And that just gives you plenty of time to do this. There's always time to do that, and it's worth the effort, I promise you. Oftentimes, what you see from behind the cup is how that putt's going to break most of the time. Now, if you're seeing one thing behind the cup, you're seeing another thing from behind the golf ball, play it straight. You can't go wrong there, and you'll be surprised as to how many times that works out in your favor. It's going to be very, very close. If you've taken lessons from me, you've heard me tell the story of the blind man. When I was the golf professional at Hejaz Golf Club, there was a blind gentleman that would come out and play. His wife would bring him, and I was amazed at how good this gentleman was. And when they got to the green, he would put his hand on his wife's shoulder. They would walk up to the hole, circle the hole, come back to the golf ball. The reason why he did this was because since he couldn't see, he obviously had to rely on the sense of feel. So he could feel the ground underneath him. He could feel if it was moving left or moving right. He could feel if he was going uphill or downhill. And he was also pacing off that putt, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And he got a good feel for the distance. And after seeing that, I was like, you know, wow, I'm crazy for not walking to the other side of the hole after seeing that. And I'm blessed with my eyesight right now, thankfully, and use that to my advantage as well. But man, what an impactful story that was to see that and to see how successful he was when he did that. So I encourage you, walk to the other side of the hole. It's so rewarding, and it's going to be so beneficial for your putting game. And also make sure you look at the putt from behind the golf ball. Doesn't hurt to look at it from all different angles. But you definitely want to walk to the other side of the cup for sure. When you walk to the other side of the cup, or if you're walking to your golf ball from your golf cart, pace off that putt. Having an exact distance will help you in the long run. For example, if you pace off a putt that's roughly 20 feet and you produce a certain backswing length that gets the ball to the hole, you'll begin to learn that certain distances will require certain putting stroke lengths. Obviously, grain and slope can affect that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a little bit, but you'll get the general idea and develop that confidence on how much energy to put behind that putt. And that's what it's all about. How much energy do we need to put behind this putt to get it to the hole? If we start pacing things off and we understand that a 5-foot putt, a 15-foot putt, a 20-foot putt, a 30-foot putt, and so on requires a certain amount of energy or a certain length putting stroke, we start getting the feel for that and we start becoming more comfortable with those distances and how to reproduce that time and time again. So try it and just see, maybe it's not your thing, maybe it is. Pace off the putt next time, get a good idea, and then make a mental note, maybe even a physical note of how long your putting stroke was to get it to that length, and then just work on that. I would really highly advise you to do this on the putting green. You can do it out when you're playing if you're obviously out there just playing for practice. But definitely want to go to a putting green. A putting green with a lot of size to it helps. Our putting green at Willow Creek is huge. It's a great green to practice on. But try it, pace it off, see if that helps you. I mentioned grain a little bit earlier. It's so important that you learn how to read the grain. This intimidates a lot of golfers. So let's look at it this way. First of all, if you're putting on bent grass greens, they do not have grain, so you don't have to worry about it. Most greens that you putt on, especially down here in the south, are going to be Bermuda greens. So how you want to look at this is if the grass looks shiny, then the grain is with you. And the speed of the putt could be faster. And if the speed of the putt is faster, then the putt could break less. And then if the grass looks dull or if it looks a little bit darker, that means the grain is against you and the putt could be slower. And if it's slower, it could break more. So that's a general idea how to read grain. So again, if it's shiny, means the grain is with you, could roll faster. If it looks dull or darker, then the grain is against you, putt could be slower, could break less. Practice that, see how it does for you. But reading grains can definitely help you become a better putter and make more putts for sure. All right, so the break has been determined. You know which way this thing's moving. Once you determine that, you need to have a great routine for alignment. Now, you can use a spot in front of the ball, or you can use the line on the ball. For example, all manufacturers put some sort of line or arrow on their golf balls. Callaway's gone a step further by going with the triple track. If you've not putted with the ball with triple track on it, it is amazing. It's really easy to line your golf ball up with those three lines on it. Or you can draw your own line if you want to. There's different devices out there that can assist you with drawing your own line on the ball. Whatever you choose on that is up to you. You can also use your putter. There are so many different putters out there that have tremendous alignment aids on it. So use your putter to help you there. You're putting in all this hard work to read this putt, right? You don't want that to go to waste. Don't let a perfect read go to waste because you misaligned your putt. Find your straight line because that's what we're trying to do here. Every putt in golf is straight. It's the ground that's going to make it curve. So, for example, if you've determined that your putt's breaking from right to left, find your straight line that's slightly right of the hole, align yourself to it using your alignment aids, whether it be on the golf ball, whether it be a spot in front of the ball, whether it be your putter, or it's all three, get lined up to your straight line, make your putt, and then watch the ground curve it into the hole. In summary, I have talked about several tips that will help you read greens better, help you become a better putter. Number one, look at the entire green. That's going to help you see the story of that putt. Study the lay of the land at the golf course. Learn from professional golfers and their caddies and research different techniques out there that can help you read greens better. Look at the putt from both sides of the ball. That's a huge one. Please remember that one. Behind the ball and behind the cup. Pace off your putt. See if that helps you produce the proper energy you need behind that putt to get it to the hole. Remember to look at the grain. Really, really important. And then also use a good alignment aid. Don't let that perfect read go to waste because you misaligned yourself. I want to conclude with this. Develop a pre-putt routine. It's huge. So you can just be consistent with all these tips that I've given you and any other tips that you may learn. Always have a routine. If you think of it like this, if you have a morning routine before you go to school, before you go to work, and that routine gets broken because something happened, you tend to forget something. You know, I woke up late this morning and I forgot to get my coffee before I walked out the door. My routine was broken. So try to always have a routine because it's going to keep you calm, it's going to keep you focused, and you are less likely to make mistakes and more likely to make more putts because you're going to all these tips or some of these tips to help you with that. Always know that you can come to me for a putting lesson and we'll go through these tips together in person on the putting green, or I'll even go out on the golf course with you if we need to. I've taken some students out to a hole that really bothers them. It troubles them. They just can't figure it out. We can do that as well. So please know I'm always here for you. Look me up, call me. And we'll set up that putting lesson together. But I hope these tips help you become a better reader of greens, and it will help you make more putts. I don't think you can go wrong with any of these. Use them all, use some of them, and I look forward to hearing your feedback on how much better you're putting and how many more putts you're making out there on the golf course. Good luck.
Just tap it in. Just tap it in. Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this flashback episode. I hope this, if you did not hear this episode originally, I hope this helps you. And even if you did, I hope it's been a great refresher for you on how to read greens a little bit better. And also explaining that course and slope rating, because those are numbers on the scorecard maybe you didn't quite understand. And now you do. So hope this helps you. I will be back on Wednesday, May 15th with another new episode. And that will drop on that day. And as always, just please help me out. Spread the word. Tell friends, family about the podcast. Go out there, give me that 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on. Follow the podcast so you get alerts. All those things are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast. Until the next episode, get out there and hit those drives long and straight. Hit those greens, drain those putts, and most of all, have a great time. Don't forget to do something nice for somebody today, because it's going to make you feel amazing to put somebody else ahead of yourself. And remember, together, let's go forth to a better golf game.
You've been listening to the Go Forth and Golf Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to receive alerts on new episodes. For more information, please follow us on social media at Go Forth Golf Instruction or visit our website at GoForthGolfInstruction.com. Remember, together, let's go forth to a better golf game.